Beloved, the Father of Light, is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech, the white power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, enjoy the Spirit.
That they may know him who is life. Father, we have not come to the place of comprehending the weight of that prayer. I'm asking tonight again that you bypass our ignorance and engage us and reveal yourself to us. Even though it may be as though we are undeserving, but we pray that mercy the rest upon this house in the name of Jesus. Reveal your person to us. Reveal the power of your person and the power of your name. Inspire our faith in the name of Jesus. Everybody, all the pastors in the house and everyone who has not traveled yet, thank you for being a blessing by coming. You're all welcome in Jesus' name. Tonight, I was actually contemplating if that was you. I don't know why this is making you scratch. Hallelujah. I was thinking maybe we should take questions. Or I should just go in and preach and share as though. Do we take questions? If you want us, any questions from the convention? Hallelujah. No question. Praise God. I thought there were no questions. All right. Let's have your question. You too. I'm going to answer those questions in just 10 minutes. So anything I say within 10 minutes, that's it. All right, Doc, your question.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The convention has come, and just like Pastor Dele said, it has not gone.
Yes.
Now my question is, how do we keep the impact of the convention?
You see, you should not have said convention has not gone. That is why this thing is still making noise.
Okay. How do we keep the impact of the convention? Because it is possible that the efficacy of the program has left people. Hallelujah. Okay. So how do we keep everything we have learned? Many of us were not here, but we are here because we kept on asking what was going on. Thank God for our WhatsApp page rolling. Some of those things, but my question is, how do we keep the impact of this convention What are the practical steps? I want to see results, both in my life and the life of other people and the life of the church too, of all we have learned in the
context. Okay, all right, I get your drift. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How do we keep the impact of a convention? How do we keep the impact of any ministration? Pastor Dele spoke to us on Sunday about that. I think you made mention of us, as the way you put it, I can't remember now. But you did say something. Yeah, what is, was it that you said? Can you remember also?
I think I said we should step out and begin to carry out those things that we've been told. I remember one of those things that was hammered was this issue of souls. This issue of no understanding that all these things you are talking about is about gaining lives, gaining souls, and bringing them in, and also helping them, and that we need to begin to also to do that, begin to see people as potential members of the kingdom, and not just sit back. And as if God is laying anything on our hearts to do, we should step out and begin to carry out some of those instructions. And not just. And then I said we should pick up those messages and listen to them over and over and over again. And not think we have grasped everything inside those messages.
Thank you. There's a particular thing you said. So, yeah, what is it? Well, he also said that, but that was not what I want to hear. I don't know what it is, but I can't remember, but I know I've not heard it. The people in the media, you are the one who did the quotable quotes. Does the quotable quotes from Sunday's message having to do with eating or something like that? You, that was one particular one that I put food there. What was the something about? Praise God.
That not the number of meetings you have attended or masters, but your ability to stay, eat, and digest the things of God.
Praise the Lord. Capacity to digest. When you digest it, that should inform the next decisions you make. Because if you have not digested it, it will be clear from the kind of decisions and the quality of decisions you make. Praise the Lord. For example, there are certain things I'm going to change next year by reason of that convention. I will put certain things in place. I will not tell you now until I talk with the pastors. But I'll just tell you up front. Certain operations will change. The time I used to handle you with kids' gloves may change. Certain number of things are going to change. There's an outflow of the convention. Amen. So that's the thing. Put certain structures in place. Of course, it comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Amen. And so you find out that, you know, for example, I learned this from Deeper Life. Pastor Kumuyi has a way every December, during their December retreat, he's always repeating the fundamentals. And I was like, this is boring. But over time, I learned that the word of God, so the kingdom of God is like a good man that brings out of his storehouse both old and new things. So it's not every time you will be hearing new things. If you're a person giving to hearing new things, you're going to have problems down the line. Because the things that are old, if you forget them, you can't migrate to the new ones. Hallelujah. I hope you are with me. So there are things that you've heard during this convention that are new to you. You may not have grasped it. Keep them somewhere in your storehouse. Hallelujah. The ones, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. As you hear it, you fix it. Okay, this one fits into the hair. Put it there. And wait for the other puzzles to be unveiled to you. Praise God. But, make sure that you have that you have understood. Amen. And then that's the only way we can do it. And then we begin to see it in your life. As you make your decisions, we say you have been with Jesus. Are you with me? They didn't say now, learn it. How they have been with you. They could show. It will affect, what you have learned should affect our prayer life. Even though we've not actually touched prayer as a methodology and all those things of warfare, we'll talk about that later on. But it should affect your prayer life. There was a word that kept running through that convention. Consecration. The word consecration. I don't know how many of you paid attention to that. And I'm not sure how many of us understand the word consecration. What is the difference between consecration and sanctification? Wait, Roger is not here. Bro, build us up.
For me, I believe sanctification is what God do to a man. It's God's commitment to a man. Consecration is man's commitment to God. Now, meaning that if you will consecrate yourself, both have a similar meaning when you go check the dictionary, because it talks about setting apart. It talks about setting apart when you sanctify or consecrate. But now sanctification is God washes you by His word, the washing of His word, just like the book of John talked about. And consecration is your own work. Yes, sir. I agree with that. Sanctification is like cleansing. And then consecration, just like Paul said in Romans 12, he said that your reasonable service, talking about your reasonable service, that means you have a path to consecrate yourself to be solely in use for God. And that's your own choice by the help of the Holy Spirit. So consecration is for yourself, and God helps you with the sanctification. But I think sanctification will always come first before a man takes a step of consecration.
That's all good. Any idea? Anybody has any idea? Let me.
An individual who, after his secondary school, decided to go to University of Federal University of Technology, Akure, Futa. And he decided to read an engineer. The intent of that person is to become a certified engineer. What makes him becoming an engineer is those things that is being taught over and over and over and over again and again, in such that he learns no other thing but that thing that will make him to become an engineer. And that is exactly why Jesus Christ was saying that, sanctify them by your word, for your word is true. The more of the word you have, the more of God you become. One of the experiences that I have learned about this issue of sanctification is that when you stay long in the place of word, there are certain things that the word makes you to become that is quite different from others. You act according to the word. You behave according to the word. I think Pastor has also taught that when you read the book of Gospel, you are likely to think like Christ. When you read the book of Epistles, you are likely to pick up the life pattern of those apostles. So when we are talking about sanctification, then we are talking about the word that you have heard, that you have read, that have ministered to your soul or your spirit, that has made you to become what God wanted you to become. There is nothing that could sanctify a man apart from the word. It's the word that has capacity to sanctify. Then when we are talking about consecration, it's a deliberate effort. He said, I will never touch anything unclean. And those are the things that happen to the Hebrew, to Daniel. No, I can't eat this kind of food, because he sees himself as an individual who is set apart for God, and unclean things cannot touch me. Why? Consecration requires a deliberate effort. Sanctification is also as a result of the... Listen, you discover that if you go to winners, you are likely to behave like them because of the word. You are likely to walk in this first dominion. Sorry to use that word, first dominion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because of certain things that have been planted into their head. So that is what consecration it talks about. Sanctification is a deliberate effort that I won't do it. That is exactly what Joseph did. That can I sin against God? Can I sin with my sin against my master and against God? Praise God.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. You have something here.
I think the word consecration, as we looked at it in the concordance now, is more used towards dedication for service. Why sanctification is to declare clean and to make holy and declare, make clean, but to consecrate is more given to set, to dedicate for service and or separate for use.
Praise the Lord. You see why you need to understand technical terms. There's a lot of technicalities in this thing. Oh, God will help us. For time's sake, let me take your question. Because I've exceeded my 10 minutes.
During the course of the convention, we were taught about the enemy, the real enemy. So I want to understand, how can someone understand the right enemy? How can someone understand, yes sir, the right enemy as touching the team?
Do we have the wrong enemy?
Yes, I think so, yes sir. And I think we are, this convention opened us up to... The second one is, what does it mean? I just wanted to expatiate on, what does it mean to travel? Pastor Tayola just spoke about it, and at the point Pastor Nespo also spoke about it. Travel, I'm talking about traveling in prayer.
Somebody, we will talk about one later in the year. That's next year. I will talk about that. That's a different story entirely. But to explain about first enemy and original enemy, hallelujah. I don't know how to answer you. But I guess you are speaking from a perspective of certain belief systems and certain practices. For us, because of our carnality, we find it very difficult to accept the truth that the people we contend with are not human beings. It's very, very difficult. Of course, we are living in a system that says it is your father's mother, your father's brother that is doing you. And with that kind of mindset, it becomes difficult to detach yourself from the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. And so, that or those kind of people may become the false enemy. You may, without realizing it, engage in warfare with persons not realizing that they are just conduit pipes to be used by the enemy. And so you divert so much, or you deploy so much energy fighting persons rather than fighting the real enemy. Now, that will take me straight to what I want to say this night. Hallelujah. When we spoke about the warfare of the kingdom, I guess, again, I know I was dealing with mindsets, which I think I need to deal with now. I should have dealt with it. I spoke about it a little during the program, but let me say enough about this. Now, let me say this. Everybody engages in spiritual warfare. Babalawo does warfare. Are you with me? The person on the mountain is fighting. The Iraqi, everybody, they are fighting. Praise God. So that is warfare. But we did not really come to talk about spiritual warfare. Because spiritual warfare is any engagement against a spiritual entity.
Amen. However, what our emphasis should have really been is about how the kingdom wages its warfare. I don't know whether you understand me. They are not the same. They look alike, but they are not the same. Just like we said, if it's about my contention against pastor, because he will not let me sell my rights, because I brought in assorted rights. If you brought in assorted rights, and it's my competitor, I will find a way of telling my enemy to die. You know that kind of thing, because he's now a competitor. It's like, or it's my landlord, who's always stopping me, my life every day, or the neighbor that is always giving trouble, is an enemy. Praise God. Sure, you understand. Or there's a passive witch in your family that every time you move forward like this, ill luck attacks you. So you must find a way that all the enemies must die. That is spiritual. It's unseen warfare. But really, it is not the warfare of the kingdom. Because you may be fighting your own battle, which is not the kingdom's battle. That is, your battle does not translate to the kingdom's fight. I hope you understand me. It's your fight, but it's not kingdom. You're not fighting for the kingdom. You're fighting us. Okay, please give me James chapter 4. Let's go to James chapter 4. I want us to look at what James began to say about our personal battles. And I will also begin to trust in God. James 4, let's pick it from 1. It's not here. I can't say anything here. Talk. Hallelujah. So from whereence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not end even of your what? Your lusts, that war in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scriptures seeth in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Praise the Lord. Let me stop there. What is he talking about here? We are competing. We are fighting. We are fighting. Praise God. Amen. And in a fight, all is fair. Praise God. Are you with me? So everything I have at my disposal will be used against you. Everything you have at your disposal, you should use against me. And so we consume. And there's a place for us that said, be careful lest you consume one another. The same scripture that works for you, that says, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm, is the same scripture that is working for me. So you activate that scripture, and I activate that scripture, what happens at the end of the day? Who loses? The two of us. Because we have deployed the same promise. I bet you watch this film. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You watched it. Oh, you watched it. Oh, praise God. They gave a contract out to a man to go and assassinate somebody. So when he got to the person to assassinate him, he said, who sent you? He mentioned the person. He said, how much did he give you? He told him how much. He said, I will double it. If you can go and help me kill him. So he said, bring the money. So he collected the money, counted it, was complete, and shot him. I went back. I have killed him. I said, thank you very much. I know you do the work. He brought that wine. And I said, but there was one problem. He gave me money to kill you. I said, I know he's a very stupid man. He can't. He said, when they give me contract, I execute it. Pow. I killed him, two of them. Do you understand? So when we both fight one another, we end up destroying and devouring one another. So Paul said, be careful. And here we are finding this, that these people were fighting, they were deploying weapons against one another. And what did Paul call it? He said, worldliness. Do you not know that friendship with the world, he called that one friendship. Yet, if you understand the context in which he was speaking, there is no idea that these guys were befriending the world. Hallelujah. But what was the problem? They were fighting for their own selfish interests, which made them worldly. Praise God. And he now said that once you take that default position, once that is your position, just know that you have made yourself a legitimate target for God to assassinate. Do you understand that? At least you can understand assassination. Said you have become an enemy. And when a man is an enemy of God, he will treat him as he treated Pharaoh. I don't know whether you understand me. So, mere fact that you are engaged in spiritual activities in order to promote your own program does not mean you are fighting for the kingdom. And so you have to be careful the kind of fight you fight. It's not, you have no legitimacy in fighting the battle that the Lord did not ask you to fight. There was a story of the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Remember when they were going to enter the promised land, and the 10 spies said, we are not able to, the whole of Israel joined them, then God judged them. After the 40, some of them gathered themselves together to come and meet Moses. They said, we repent. We repent. Now we'll go in and take the land. We'll go in. Moses said, don't go. They said, we will go. They carried everything. They said, don't take the ark, let them go. And so those guys cross over to the enemy's side to go and fight against the enemies of God. They were destroyed. So you can purport to fight God's battle when he has not deployed you to go and fight. You'll be fighting your own battles because it's not the Lord's battle. And so we have seen over the years that many leaders have led the children of God astray to fight battles that does not belong to the Lord. And that really is rebellion. When you lead people to fight illegitimate battles, it is rebellion. Hallelujah. One other thought that crossed my mind, which I want to say in passing. I know you may crucify me. I hear a lot of people talk about generals. Oh, God's general. And I want to ask Pastor, is it possible to have a general without an army? Okay. So how do you define an army of a general, that a general commands?
Well, it depends on your ability.
Okay.
It also depends on your ability.
Very good. So, okay, praise God. So whatever, if you are a general, that means you are a person that leads an army into battle. Okay. So I want to ask those that you have called generals, who have they led into battle? What battles have they taught people how to fight? I don't know, please. Go over what I've just said. When you say, Pastor is a general, I'm a general, I'm a general of PGT. I want to ask, what battles have I led you into to fight? I don't know whether you understand that question. I hope I'm not causing problems. I am causing problems. Amen. Because we need to redefine many of these things. You know, I said it during the convention. We've been talking about the Lord's army, and I'm yet to see the Lord's army. We are yet to, because I keep asking, where are they? Where? Because we cannot have an army without soldiers. And if a soldier, every soldier has a specialization. So what I want to ask, what is your specialization? In what field of his battle are you fighting in? What is your division? What's the banner on that which you are fighting? What are you fighting for? The closest we are doing, let's go for evangelism. But really, we are not yet fighting. We are not really doing any warfare. We are just going through church with the hope that we will get to heaven one day. Amen. I begin to wonder how that's going to happen. So maybe if we begin to redefine some of these terminologies, it will help us. Hallelujah. So I've stopped calling people generals. I want to see what they have done. Of course, some people they've come around, they pioneered certain truths. But pioneering certain truths, does that make a general? I don't know whether you are with me. Is that sufficient? I got a revelation. Pastor Bull, I got a revelation. And that revelation blew your mind. And all of you called the revelation. But is that sufficient to make me a general? Huh? Does that make me an apostle? Because these are very important issues. Very pertinent. Because otherwise, we will keep making the same mistake that we have been making for the past years that I remember having given my life to Christ. Because we are producing generations of believers that just keep saying, bless me Lord, oh yes Lord, I can receive it. I've come with my cup, oh put more Lord, I can drink more. And God is like, when are these people going to stop this kind of behavior? When are they going to grow up and take responsibilities and be able to handle territories? Hallelujah. So these are the issues we need to look at. And we also need to stop deceiving ourselves. I want to look at a man called David. I don't know whether I have enough time to run through it. I would have looked at Paul, but you all know Paul. But let us look at David. You remember that when David ran away from the... I don't know whether I can... Praise God. I think I will just try and see what we can do about the man David. You know, when David went to the cave of Adullam, you remember that story when he was in the cave of Adullam? Some few people, about 600 people, fell to him. And what he had was a raiding party. He goes into territory, fights, collects plunder, comes back into the cave. He was in that cave for years. Praise God. He was not fighting the Lord's battle. He was fighting his own battles. And God kept him because he had a covenant over his head and he preserved him. But the interesting thing was that those personal engagements were opportunities to turn non-entities and turn them into an elite fighting force. Do you know where that scripture is? The man who fell to David in the cave of Adullam. Let us look at their characteristics. Because when we talk about apostles and talk about ministry gifts, are God's, if I will use the word, they are God's generals. But they do not serve that purpose when they cannot replicate. Are you with me? They must be able to do what? Replicate. They must also produce men after their kind. When I use the terminology of Paul, said things you've heard of me, pass on to men who are able to pass on. They must be able to replicate. If you are not replicating, you are not doing anything. It's not a one-man show anymore. Have you found it in the cave of Adullam? Where are you guys? I thought you'd have found it. Service Madeline. Praise God. Who is their pastor there? Amen. Please, where is this? Have you found it? Media, where are you? First Samuel. They found it. And David therefore departed there and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his fathers had heard it, they went down, see that to him, the next verse. And everyone that was what? In distress. Everyone that was in distress. There are many things that can put people in distress. See, when we come to church, all kinds of people come looking for Jesus. So we come to church because of the one girlfriend. Some people come to church because they want boyfriends. Some people come to church because they want jobs. Some people come to church. They come for different reasons. This is what came to David. They were in debt. And everyone that was what? In debt. They could not pay the money they borrowed. So the easiest way out was to run to David. And everyone that was what? Discontented. They were not happy with the way APC was running the government. Hallelujah. They just went and left town. Praise God. May God raise the baby for us. In Jesus' name. That can bring people together. And they gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. Praise God. These people had no military training. They were distressed people. They were people in debt. And they were people that were discontented. And David was made their captain. Very unlikely for people to start a ministry with. Praise the Lord. Very unlikely. How do you do the autopsies with this kind of people? Where would they get money to fund the autopsies? I don't know whether you are with me. Because they are already in debt. Those who were discontented, probably FRS, closed their businesses. They got angst. I don't know whether you are with me. Trump confiscated their farmland. They are discontented. So they really didn't have anything to bring to David by way of giving him any financial or whatever kind of advantage you want to give him. Praise God. These are the people that David became captain over. So on a good day, when you hear that the end of David, people will laugh and say, who are those riffraffs? He's a captain over riffraffs. Praise God. I said, praise God. Paul said that some were you. You remember Paul was writing. Some of you are not learned. Some of you are not. You are not the strongest. Some of you are not smart. You are just, that was the people that Jesus brought to himself. Amen. Can we continue? And everyone, okay. And there were with him about what? 400 men. These were the men that David began to teach the art of warfare. Praise God. And every time he went for a raid, it was an opportunity for them to gain experience. Now listen to me. In most times, before God can deploy you to fight his battles, he needs to train you. It is true that not many wise are called. Hallelujah. But you know that you will not remain a fool. When you come to Jesus, you may come to him as a fool, but you cannot afford to remain a fool. You may not be strong when you came to Jesus, but you cannot afford to remain a weakling. I don't know whether I'm communicating here. You can't afford to remain that. And that's the problem many people, I guess people have. They assume that, okay, I came as a weakling, I must remain a weakling. You can't remain a weakling. You must become strong. So he said, be strong in the power of his might. You came in as a weakling, but become strong. Praise God. So this man, every opportunity was an opportunity that David had to train them in the art of warfare. Please remember also that David also needed to be trained. When David confronted Goliath, remember that he took Goliath with his own sling. And the Bible says he used Goliath's sword to cut Goliath's head off. And he became the possessor of that sword. That became his emblem. When you say that sword in battle, you know that David is in battle. Praise God. He didn't know how to use a sword before. But David had to learn. Everybody say learn. So, like the question doctor is asking, is about the issue of learn. What are you learning? How are you taking advantage of the opportunities that come your way? The battles or the seemingly unconnected battles. How are you training yourself? Praise the Lord. God needed to train David. Just like he needed to train those men. And so you have to learn how to, like I said, like I learned from, I was talking during the convention, that one of the things about military, that first day you come into camp, or they must teach you first of all how to march. Praise God. How to march. You have to know how to march in formation. And you march without looking at the other person. In other words, you come to a place where you know what the other person is doing. I don't know. I mean, okay, you have an idea. When you are the one here and you have to turn, the other person does matter and then they will be turning and you will be turning. It's beautiful when you see them turn.
Oh, I won the Nigerian Army contingent. I went to a program in England and those guys marched. Oh, the people stood up and gave Nigerian Army a clap ovation in England. They were better than the British Army. If you see us march, Nigerian Army march. Have you seen Mopo march before? You will like to join them. Apart from the road that is there. So what am I saying? That these things have a way of blending people's minds together. They become a fighting unit. Because when we are fighting, are you with me? I must be able to predict where Pastor Odi will be standing. Because if I throw sword like this, I take his head off, I've lost the soldier. Sure you understand? So I must, there's a way we must communicate without even talking. How many of you have watched 300? You watched 300. You saw how those guys fought. They fought like an elite and they knew how everybody was standing on the battlefield. It doesn't come in one day. It takes time for that to happen. Praise the Lord. So that's why you find that we are units. When we are starting, I'm annoying him. He's annoying you. When I asked him to carry the chair, he went to carry it there. All that is part of your training process. How you can walk without offending one another. Praise the Lord. If you stay long together, you'll find that you will stop offending one another. Because you know what you can do and what you cannot do. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether I'm making sense. These are things that God uses in training us. Hallelujah. Now, this is what the Bible says. And that's how David began to fight his own battles from here and there. But God used those situations to train him. Now, the Bible told us, maybe I will jump those things and come back many years later. Or many months later, I'll come back here. The issue now, which is interesting to me, is how did this man develop? I'm very curious. Now, look at this. Where did I put mine? Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Samuel. Okay, before I do 2 Samuel, let me look at this part. Chronicles. Go to Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles 12. If I go to 1 Samuel. Chronicles 12. Verse 1. It says, now these are they that came to David to Ziklag. Now they came after David had proven himself that he could handle an army. God didn't bring them until God was sure that David was ready. Now how did God know David was ready? You remember the two tests. He had gone through certain tests. Remember when he went to fight with the Philistines? And they said, this guy is David Saul's captain. Who are no pan Goliath now? Pastor David began to behave like a madman. And the king said, let this guy get out of my front. Praise God. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He had to learn about relationships. You don't just relate anyhow. That was the last time David did that kind of stupid thing. Then there was this other time, they said, this David boy, we know him. So David, when those Philistines go out and raid, David will go and raid their own people. But he could not declare who he really was to them. But after a time, you remember that David caught up with Saul in the cave. Caught Saul's cloth. And the Bible says, and his heart smote him. That he even touched the hem of his garment and cut it. His mind's heart smote. That means God knew, for immediately he knew he was not ready. God said, this guy was not ready. He has to now go and do repeat class. You now know why we keep repeating classes in the spirit realm. Because they can't move you forward until you pass. You learn the lesson and you pass. Praise God. So God gave him a repeat class and he caught up with Saul again. This time he didn't touch Saul. Praise God. Then God said, this guy is ready. Shortly after that, they arranged for Saul to leave the scene. Praise the Lord. And when Saul left the scene, somebody wrote, God will help us. Somebody wrote a piece. This, I read it in a WhatsApp group. He said all the people in front of us are going. And Abonke has gone. He was giving us the H. Billy Graham. I'm gone. Said that set is going. Who will take over? I have no answer. One thing I told my uncle, I said, if Baba Adeboye passes away, all of us are in trouble. It's not only relief, all of us will be in trouble. Praise God. There's no way, I don't know how they want to do it. Praise God. We'll be in trouble. But God will, He's the one building His church. No problem. The Yoruba said there's nothing coming from up. Praise God. They are going, you know. So when Saul died, there was a power vacuum in Israel. People had no leader. They were, and suddenly they just remembered there was this young boy, one boy, you remember that boy that came to the battlefield that day. What's his name? Is David. Where is he? Is he Ziklag? Where can he? Yeah, let's just go and look for him. Praise God. It was God orchestrating those moves. Because he had passed, he had shown that he had the heart. You remember the first time they found him was when he killed a lion. You don't know what it is to kill a lion. When Saul disobeyed, God began to look through Israel who he could anoint as king. And we found this small boy go after a lion to save a small hue. They call it hue. Ew. Hue. Baby lamb. You don't know how a baby lamb looks like. A very helpless. Not good enough or not worth putting your life on the line for. It's not even good enough for pepper soup. Praise God. So why will you risk your life to save it? Consider the number of sheep and goats and malu that your father has. Let that one go. Hallelujah. But David went after it and killed it. And I want to believe that there was a discussion in the courts of heaven that when the angels reported to the father that we found a boy that went to kill a lion because of God said it's not possible. Let me see. God saw the they give him another test to be sure. They gave him a beer test. Hallelujah. Remember in battle, when he was going to that battle, testimony was very important. What pastor said, testimony is very important. Because in the day of battle, it's your previous testimonies that will help you. So he began to recite the testimony. But look at the way God prepared him to be. He was a captain of a band of no-do-goods. Now, he had grown and was ready to take on real responsibility. In Galatians chapter 4, it said when a child is a child, it's a baby, he said he does different nothing from the servants. He and the servant are the same. In fact, the servant can even exercise an oppressing. Now, this particular story, my younger sister, they asked her at the time, when they used to ask us, what do you want to become in life? He said, I want to become an housemaid. Housemaid, how? Why? He said, the housemaid are the food that eat the best food. Because that's what she saw. Before they come to serve, the housemaid has taken care of herself. Eating the best one, taking the best meat. So she said, this is how life is. This housemaid work is better. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's how it looks like. Amen. So we look at, we now see that these personal battles helped him to prepare him for the next challenge. Hallelujah. Go, take me back to that, please. I'll bring my thoughts together. I hope I can finish it. If I don't finish it today. Chronicles. Now, these are they that came to David to Ziklag when he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men. What were they? Helpers of the war. Helpers of what? Of the war. How many people do we have in the churches who are helpers? Let us look at that. Let's look at the specifications. Next verse. They were what? Armed.
with bows and could use both right hand and left in oiling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. They were what? These men were hanged. They could use the bow. They could use the sling. They could shoot from both left and right. There's a particular army. I don't know whether it was the Mongolian army. One of their trademarks was that while they are galloping on the horse, they can shoot arrows through a bullseye. That's a lot of skill. You are moving and you are galloping and you can shoot. Praise God. You don't understand? How many of you watched the... there's a particular film they did. Eh? No, American soldier, the sniper. The story of an American sniper in Iraq. He was reputed to be the best sniper. So as he killed an Iraqi sniper, almost three of, maybe about 10 kilometers away, a very impossible shot. He shot him through his own gun. The bullet went through the gun into his head. Because when you are a sniper, you must calculate wind, velocity, wind direction. You must calculate deep. All kinds of calculations goes into being a sniper. That guy got him. In fact, it was an impossible shot. Praise God. These were the kind of men that came to David. They had already been skilled. Look, the major problem we have in the churches today is that we lack men that are skilled. And it takes time to acquire skill. Just like Pastor said, if you major in one thing for 1 year, in that area you are skilled. But we have become men who are masters of jack of all trades, master of none. You are a master of all the doctrines, but you don't know anything out of those ones. Just like I asked, sanctification and consecration, we were blank. And yet, when we want to sing, we can sing to the heavens. You have to be skilled. We're talking about putting on the whole armor. Everything in that armor is the word of God, though. Everything in that armor are all promises of God. All of them. Is it the shield of faith? Is it their promises? Is it the helmet of salvation? Their promises. Is it which one again? The belt of truth? Their promises. Is it the breastplate of righteousness? Their promises. You must be skilled. You must know what they mean. You must understand where to find them. You must have digested it in and out. They don't put, pastor, you put them on. They won't come and put it on for you. So there is a conscious effort that goes into it. Hallelujah. These men were armed. Fully armed. Sons of the brethren of Saul. Hallelujah. Next verse. Chief was Ahiezer. I don't know the name, but just follow me. Amen. Ahiezer. Then Joash, the sons of Shema, the Gibeonites, and Jazel, and Pelet, and the sons of Manvat, and Berakah, and Jehudiathon, Tite. Verse 4. God will just deliver me. Let us jump. Hey, Ishmael, the Gibeonite, a mighty man among the 30. They singled this guy out. And Jeremiah, and Jahaziel, and Jonah, and Josabad, the Gedaritite. God will have mercy. Just let us jump on this height. Go to the next set of people that came. Go, 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 go. Don't put me in trouble here. Hallelujah. Of the Gidites, they separated themselves unto David into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might and men of war. That means fit for the battle. We need men that can be fit. What could these guys do? That says they could handle shield. The first could throw stones and could fire arrows using their left or their right. These ones, their specialty was what? Shield. And what? The buckler. Whose faces were like what? Faces of lions. Have you seen lions? Have you seen me? Whose face is like a lion? Only God knows. I think I have an idea. The immortals.
You want 300? You saw the face of the mortals. Those faces were terrible. I think these guys had those kind of faces. They have faces like that of lions and were as swift as the rose upon the mountains. That is a bundle of skill. Hallelujah. They came as a group. They were an elite group. Praise God. That's the purpose for which we are talking about in the church where we have units. The reason why units were set up is that people of similar giftings can congregate and develop skills in that area. Praise God. We are not all gifted alike. We are not all gifted alike. So you must recognize where you are gifted and congregate with those who have similar gifting and there take your time to build your competencies in that area. Praise God. You don't need to be intimidated. This guy that can handle shield and buckler, we're not intimidated by those who could fire arrows. What is the purpose of your arrow when the person has a shield can block your and wade off your attack? Say you understand, but they have to work together as a team. So when the guy is firing arrow, the people that can have the shield will block and shield them from, you know, it's a team thing. Praise God. And the Bible says they were swift as roes upon the mountains. Can you go to the next set of people? No. Just continue. Jump all those second, third. Praise God. These were the sons of God, captains of the host. One of the least was over 100. And the greatest over what? 1,000. My God. The least. When you see the least, he can take down 100 people. That's what he's capable of doing. He can take down 100. So you can imagine the least usher can go to anywhere and go and pastor. You know, blessed are that is that church. I be the usher. We will only the least preacher. Praise God. I don't know. Maybe the security that is doing traffic. When he gets find himself, we just take him to Lagos. The pastor will now say, please come and sit in front. We are ordaining you as pastor. I say, but where I am, I'm totally directing traffic. That's what a least can do. And the greatest among them was captain over 1,000. Praise the Lord. I think I'll take time later. We'll look at this men of David and what the Bible says. So these were those who went over Jordan in the first month, went over, flew all his banks, and they put to flight all of them in the valley, both towards the east and towards the west. You know what it is to cross the Jordan when it was in flood? I don't know how they crossed. There was no bridge. These men had no bridge. I don't know how they swam across. One of the most dangerous things to do is when a river is in flood and you enter it. People to even get to the bank and that, he wants to sweep you off, it's bye-bye. These men will cross the river when it is in full flood. That's why they became mighty men. Listen to me. It is not the coming to church that matters. It's the deeds you do. You have to do deeds. Deeds of righteousness. Deeds of faith. We call them heroes of faith. But by faith, they put to flight the armies of the enemy. There were things they did. Was it not Rhoda? Is it not Rhoda? I mean, the woman that, Tabitha. She did things. It's not just coming to church. What are the deeds of righteousness that you are doing in the body? What commitments are you doing? What kind of thing are you doing that you are... See, that is warfare. You don't understand that in this church, I'm the one that is always sewing cardigans for people because it's winter. I'm always sewing cardigans. You don't know how that thing destroys the work of certain people's lives. Or you are an usher, and when you are cleaning the chair, and I say, Father, everyone that sits on this chair, bless them, heal them. You are in warfare. You are engaging in warfare. But it looks like mundane activities, right? Nothing is mundane.
Now this man can cross the river for something serious. Hallelujah. Let me quickly round up with this. Now, I'm going to skip all of them and come to this final thought. Look at verse 38. Take me to verse 38. All these men of war that could keep what? Rank. Came with what? My God. What did they come with? That means they were not divided. They had the same mind. When Paul said, be of the same mind, you are seeing it there. Because you cannot have an army that have a different mindset. You can't have a team when the goalkeeper is not in sync with the other players in the team. We used to have a goalkeeper like that. I don't know whether it's late Peter Fregene. On a very, very good day, if his head is correct, your position is in trouble. They can't score that day. There's something they want to play. You can't score Fregene. Once Fregene is okay, Omamugo. So, problem. Just make sure you don't annoy him. The day you annoy him, your team will lose 7-0. For me, he's the best keeper Nigeria ever had. I've not seen a keeper like Fregene. 1982, Libyan, Cup of Nations in Libya. When Fregene, he took off from the ground and level with the crossbar. Have you seen a keeper like that? He jumped and his body leveled with the crossbar. He does not punch boy. Oh man, Muni, I pluck it there. I'm walek well. They showed it from several angles. The commentator said, "What? This is we cannot understand it." They will show it again. They will show it from another angle. I just was like, "Ha!" But shortly after, they annoyed you. Three goals just entered. Someone like that. Ah! I didn't go. Praise God. Perfect heart. Nobody goes to battle. I've watched some films on gladiators. The person that is afraid of death is the first person to die. The first... What's the step answer? I get into the arena. Oh no, my God. I was so beru. No man survived. Somebody said something. Great mercenaries are people who are skilled in warfare. They know how to enter war and come out without dying. And maybe we go into that same war. First bullet is taking them out. Praise God. These men had a perfect heart. Can we have people in church that have a perfect heart? That you are not running another agenda. They came to Hebron. What was their intention? To make David king over what? All Israel. Now, our David is Jesus. How many people have a perfect act to turn the kingdom back to our Lord and his Christ? This is a type of Jesus Christ that we are trying to emulate. David was the only person who fought the battles of the Lord. It's a pattern of the kingdom and how the warfare will be fought. Praise God. But you cannot go to, we can't go to war until we have men and women with a perfect heart. Whose sole aim is to bring glory and turn the kingdom back to our God and his Christ. If we have no such men, we can't go to war. They will decimate us. They will waste us. What we've been having either to are raiding parties. People, they just go raid the enemy. Blocks of few unbelievers. Bring them to the kingdom. Tutor them. Then we have another mighty one like Rabonke. Enter the enemy's camp. Help us collect a few thousands. Bring them to Christ. We have been doing raiding parties. All of them. We have not had any concerted effort of taking the kingdom by force. Strategy by strategy. One of the men I did not mention are the sons of Issachar. Men who understood times. We need everything. Everything that all the resources of heaven needs to be brought down and deployed. Because it doesn't make any sense. If we are going to war and the person we are fighting with is coming with Shaka Bula and we are coming with swords, when we have assault rifles. Uzis, everything in our armory. And we didn't come with it. We are coming down with knives. You are mad. If they kill you, you deserve to die. Do you understand me? Well, so when Paul said the weapons of our warfare, not that they're not, I said they are mighty. There is no enemy they've borne. Whether it's on earth or in hell, that can withstand those weapons. But the problem is that we are coming to a gunfight with knives. That's why we're not standing. So these are things we need to begin to look at. And we begin to deal with. God will help us in Jesus' name. We need all of them. We need the prophetic. We need the economics. Somebody said many of the prophets of old were economists. They could predict. They tell you, what did you study? What did you study? Psychology. No, you're not going to use philosophy. You're going to go into marketing. Because that's where you're going to be strategic. See, you understand? But that's... Those are the sons of Issachar downloading divine wisdom. You will not go to chemistry. You are going into politics. You are going there. I didn't say go. I just said you. I just said you. Praise God. I'm not sending you. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. We'll talk about that later on. God will help us in Jesus' name. But we need sons of Issachar. We need men whose faces are like lions. We need men that can cross the River Jordan. We need men that can take risk. Those were risk takers. They can enter enemy's territory without fear of reprisal. I don't know how many of our testimonies of people, they told us testimonies those days of people who did deliverance and the demon jumped on them. No, I will go to her. See, this is deliverance. See, our demon jumped on them. Those things neutralize our faith. So we have to say, no, in the name of Jesus. No. But we have to tread carefully. What kind of demon are you? This is your own mad demon. Okay, you can go. This is the one that is easy to deal with. Praise God. But we need men that can cross River Jordan. We need men. And so you begin to see how our prayers need to change. You know how we have to be a little more global. And more... God must give us that heart. That the only thing that matters to us is how do we bring glory to the name of our Lord Jesus. It's not about making PGT the number one ministry in Nigeria. It's not. That is not my goal. Do you notice, as I bring this to close, of the men that became household names today, were men that never set out to make a name for themselves. They never set out. All those who set out to make a name for themselves never made a name for themselves. Of course, we knew them, but they never laid hold upon what it was that they wanted. Never did. Mandela did not step out to make a name for himself. But today, he's an icon. There's no leader in Africa that can be comparable to Mandela. Plus, including my OBJ. Not even OBJ, not Buhari, not anybody. Because these were people who wanted a name for themselves. And God would never give them a name. But David, he gave David a name. Are you with me? Because he never set out to have a name. All that was on his mind, that how do I bring glory to my Father? And God gave him a name. I trust God that God will give you a name. There were men that they took time to put their names down in the annals and the records of the Bible. It was deliberate. Because everyone recognized them. But I want to say this as I close, please. Not all those that did great things for God were recorded. Not all were recorded. Some ever kept quiet. But in the annals of heaven, their names are there. When you get there, you will meet them. And they will tell you, this was this these guys did. You two will do, ha. Praise God. But these things are written as what? Examples. God is writing. The Acts of Apostles, I don't like that story. It's Acts of Apostles. But they are still going to write the Acts of the saints. When they will talk about the exploits of great saints that walk the surface of the earth. So we need it. We need God to just help us. I want us to bow our heads to pray. Let us talk to the Lord. This is our time. We have come into the kingdom for a time like this. What will be said of us? What will be the testimony of heaven concerning us? Jesus said to the apostles, "Say, don't rejoice what demons are subject to you, but your names are written in the book of life." Even with that, they still went to do exploits. They were men of exploits. We cannot talk about the kingdom if we don't talk about warfare. I know you're a naturally quiet person, but there is no place for that in this warfare. I want us to talk to the Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. We talk about the communion of the Spirit. Lord, I need help. I need your help. What is my role in this army? What is my role in this army? This army was recognized by the skills that they had. These were men who were proficient. These were men that were skillful. These were men that could fight. They were men of competence. What is your competence? These were men that had this heart. The Bible said they could keep rank. They were not disorderly. They were people who don't behave anyhow. They were disciplined. They were highly disciplined men. In the making of the kingdom's army, God will be looking for men who are disciplined, men that can keep rank, men that can take instructions and carry it out, men that are focused, and they have only one thing in mind, to make David king. They are focused men. Lord, help me. You know how divided I am. Some of us are selfish. We only think about ourselves. We only think about our program. We only think about our comfort. You have to get rid of that. That thing has to be shed out of your heart. Holy Spirit, bring deliverance to me. I renounce the spirit of selfishness. I renounce the spirit, this unclean spirit of pursuing my own agenda at the expense of your agenda. I renounce it. I ask for the heart that is perfect. Give me a perfect heart. Give me a perfect heart. Give me a perfect heart. Give us a perfect heart. In the name of Jesus. Ori mantosi klemondria sote ibra neshte. Findrodusse frikadosh.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.